We are joined by our very special guest, and that is former Giants wide receiver and special teamer Dominic Hixon, who helped guide the team to two Super Bowl championships. Dominic, you got Lance Middle, Paul Dottino here on Giants.com. Appreciate the time. How's everything?
Oh, great. How you guys doing?
We're doing great, Hicks. Are you on the boat fishing this morning, or are you going to do that this afternoon?
No, we're doing a little maintenance on it. We're getting ready for the season, but we'll definitely be on the water here soon.
Excellent stuff. Hey, you know, we were talking earlier, and it was really just a no-brainer to ask you about the Carolina connection between Dave Gettleman and Mike Shula, the GM and offensive coordinators of the Giants coming up now in their first seasons with this team. You, of course, knew Gettleman from when he was a Giant, but also in Carolina. So let me ask you first off. Let's go with Shula first, though. As an offensive coordinator, how would you characterize him in terms of what his core beliefs are? We know he's going to be working with Pat Shurmur, who was brought in this year as the Giants' new head coach.
Yeah, you know, when I went to Carolina, the first thing I noticed about the offense was the vertical passing game, the ability to kind of stretch the field every play. And some things that he did in the running game that was really unique, and obviously it was successful for a long time, you know, in Carolina running the ball. So, I'm excited. I think it's a good fit. And, you know, with the personnel that the Giants have right now and that they can build on, you know, the draft and free agency, I'm expecting big things from the offense this year.
Dominic, Pat Shurmur, the head coach, announced that he's going to be the main offensive play caller. Shula obviously was the play caller when he was in Carolina with you. But in terms of a teacher, a mentor, a game planner, what jumps out to you about Mike Shula during the week as he prepares an offense to get ready?
You know, a lot of film work that he does, and especially during meetings, how he explained it to us and what he kind of wanted done game plan-wise. I mean, I felt like we went into every game knowing what we wanted to get accomplished, and then, you know, and then the halftime adjustments that we did. You know, that year in Carolina with the offense we had, I mean, I thought we were extremely explosive, and like I said, I could see the Giants doing the same thing.
Let me ask you this, Dominic. You know, everybody talks about the sets that people use now, three wide sets. They're going to use two tight end personnel. You know, the one back. They're going to go two back. Going to go jumbo package. Clearly, there are some coaches that favor certain styles of sets, whether or not they're going to run the ball or pass the ball. Shula, it seems to me, is more of a three wide guy, even though he likes to run the ball. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I'd say so. And, you know, with having Olsen down there in Carolina, you know, having that one tight end on the field, I mean, it's kind of like almost having four receivers at some time. you know, I mean, spreading the guys out and doing it with three wide receivers, I mean, I think that could be dynamic just because the run scheme that he has in a three wide receiver set will still allow you to run against a defense that's, you know, there to stop the run. So, and that play action pass, that's another thing, too. When we got to run a game going in Carolina, that play action pass was even that much more dangerous.
Well, and Dominic, I'm glad you brought up the running game because really from the start of your tenure in Carolina all the way to the present day, Carolina's had probably one of the most consistent running games in the NFL, and I think a lot of that has to do with the coaching and the philosophy of the organization. How much of an emphasis did Mike Shula place on the run? You mentioned the vertical game jumped out to you, but how much of an emphasis every week was placed on, we're going to win the battle in the trenches, we're going to look to pound the football?
Well, you know, and that was priority number one. If we can't run the ball, then it's going to be hard to pass the ball. You know, you're going to have those defenses pinning their ears back when they know you're going to pass the ball. So, you know, running the ball was priority one. And one thing that he said that stood out to me was we got to run the ball when they know we're going to run the ball. And we got to be successful at it. And that's what the Giants, you know, in the past few years kind of have been lacking is a run game. And, during our Super Bowl years, as you know, you guys, I'm sure you remember, we ran the ball extremely well.
Yeah.
And so if they can get that run game going, I mean, like I said, the playbook's wide open after that.
Dominic Hixon joins us on the program, spent 2013 in Carolina after winning two Super Bowls with the Giants. Dominic, I want to go back to what Lance was just talking about. You had mentioned the vertical passing game and the play-action pass, two things that Eli Manning is just terrific at. There is no question. But at the same time, Cam Newton was a running quarterback. And you know Eli, he's not running too much. So how do you suppose that the Giants' offense with Shula, with Shermer, and Eli, how will that kind of manifest itself this year?
Well, you know, and both of them kind of bringing what they both, you know, did at Minnesota and at Carolina, kind of mixing that together. You know, I don't expect any zone read play action, you know, from Eli Reed, the defensive end or anything. But at the same time, there's so much more that can be done with the play action pass that I think they both can get together and be on the same page about. But a lot of times, like I said, in Carolina, when we did a play action pass, it wasn't Cam necessarily, you know, on the run, but it was just being successful at the run game to, you know, open that play action pass up and kind of have that drop back.
Dominic, you were talking about Cam Newton, and he came into the league in 2011, and Mike Shula was the quarterback's coach then. I know you didn't arrive till 2013, but even when you were there, Cam was still a very young quarterback, and, you know, the Giants may consider getting Eli Manning's successor in the draft. Davis Webb is on the team. Part of being an offensive coordinator is also helping to develop the quarterbacks. What did you see in terms of what Mike Shula did for Cam early in his career to continue to get him to improve under center?
Well, you know, and from what I've heard to when I got there was that, you know, they started off kind of basic and, you know, kind of the foundation set, and then, you know, continued every year to kind of grow them. And by the time I got there, I mean, he was rolling with the offense, and he knew what he liked. You know, Coach Shula knew what he liked, and so they were on the same page. And a lot of times in the huddle, when we're in there, you know, he's calling the plays, you know, while Mike's, you know, talking in his ear. And, you know, it was because they already knew what they wanted. They already were on the same page. And so I thought he did a great job and, you know, continued that throughout his career. And then when they made it to the Super Bowl, that wasn't a surprise because Cam was so comfortable in the offense from the foundation that Coach Shula set. So, you know, one day Eli won't be playing, but I think he still has a few years left. But if they do end up drafting a quarterback, I mean, I think it'd be a great foundation that'll be set for the quarterback for, you know, future years to come.
Dominic, let me ask you about that run game, because you mentioned before that the Panther philosophy was we're going to run it even if you know we're going to run it. Was it more of a physical running game where they just took it to people and pounded people, telegraphing what they were going to do and just physically beat them up? Or in your mind, was it more schematically oriented that they were trying to, you know, run circles around people with the running game?
No, I think it was both. You know, sometimes, I mean, I think in short yardage, if I'm not mistaken, they were one of the best in the league throughout the years. But also, like you said, in that three wide receiver set, you know, when they still had, you know, seven and eight in the box, that schematically they were still able to run the ball. And so it's kind of both ways. I mean, they lined up on the goal line, and like I said, and pounded it for, you know, 2 or 3 yards to get a touchdown, or, you know, like I said, they put you in a three receiver set and then, you know, schemed you. And that's where a lot of the play action at the goal line and stuff like that came into play. But like I said, it's both ways. I'm excited, like I said, because schematically and, you know, physically, like I said, I think the Giants will be able to do it.
Talking with Dominic Hixon, former Giants wide receiver special teamer, was with the Giants for 2007-2012, helped them win a pair of Super Bowls. Earlier you brought up Greg Olsen, and you know, the Giants have a very young, up-and-coming tight end in Evan Engram. And, you know, it's interesting when you look at yourself and your teammates at Carolina. You had Steve Smith on that 13 team, Dominic. You had Ted Ginn, Brandon LaFell. You look at what the Giants have personnel-wise, Odell Beckham, Sterling Shepard, also a relatively young core with a few veterans. How do you think Mike Shula can utilize a player like Odell Beckham as well as Evan Engram based on what you saw him do with personnel in Carolina?
And I tell you, if I was, you know, those two guys in receivers, I'd be extremely, extremely excited. Because the thing is that, you know, the players that you just mentioned compared to what the Giants have, a lot of things are similar. You know, you got a potential Pro Bowl guy in Odell Beckham. You got a heck of a tight end who's young, like you said, and kind of, you know, the Greg Olsen receiving tight end. And so, you know, he kind of has that same kind of outfit that he had in Carolina that he was successful with. And so if I'm a Giants fan, if I'm a receiver, a tight end, like I said, I'm excited because of what he did in Carolina and how successful he was. And like I said, they got the potential to be, you know, to go from, you know, kind of the bottom of last year to one of the top offenses this year.
You know, Dominic, it's funny, though, because whenever people talk about an offense's potential, we all know it starts with the offensive line. Because if you can't block it and you can't protect it, you can't move the ball. Dave Gettleman, when he came back here to the Giants as GM just some months ago, made it very clear he wants those hog mollies up front on that offensive line. Could you discuss, if you would, the environment, the climate that Dave Gettleman built with the Panthers while he was a GM? Because it's clear for him it starts in the trenches.
Absolutely. I was just telling the high school that I coach at here in Pensacola, Pensacola Lighthouse, I was just telling those coaches, I said, when Gettleman that came into Carolina, I was like, if you look at his draft, if I'm not mistaken, he drafted two defensive linemen.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then I think either one or two offensive linemen. And so, you know, the emphasis was put on that. And those two D linemen, Kawan Short and I forgot the other one, but they're still there in Carolina and still dominate. And so, you know, one thing that Carolina's been able to do to be successful over the years is kind of use that platform. You know, again, trying to set that foundation. I mean, you guys are absolutely right that if you don't have the guys to block, then it doesn't matter who you have at quarterback, doesn't matter who you have at tight end, running back, or receiver. And so I think that there's going to be huge emphasis in the next couple of years on kind of solidifying those offensive linemen and you know, having those five, you know, six, seven offensive linemen that can work together, you know, for the next 3, 4, 5 years and kind of, you know, ride that wave like we did going to the Super Bowl.
Dominic, you knew Gettleman when you were here with the New York Giants, and then obviously he moved to Carolina in 13, and that is when you joined the Panthers. I'm curious, how much of your knowledge of Gettleman, your relationship with Gettleman, ultimately impacted your decision to sign with the Panthers back in 2013?
I mean, you know, just being honest, is that's the reason I went to Carolina. You know, I had an opportunity to speak to him and, you know, take a visit down there and, you know, the relationship that we built in New York and just his personality and who he is and what type of man he is, I said, you know, I feel comfortable with making the move. And, you know, going down there and, like I said, and seeing what he was doing and what he was building, that's something that I wanted to be a part of. And, you know, along with Chase going down there as well, Blackburn. So, but, yeah, I mean, like I said, what he was building and the team that he was building, like I said, I wanted to be a part of that. And I'm glad that the Giants, you know, brought him back, and I'm excited about it.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned that, Dominic, because obviously when he was pro personnel director with the Giants and the Broncos had gotten rid of you, he knew right away to go get you. So he, you know, he had an eye on you from way back when you were at Akron, I'm sure, or at least coming out. And it seems to me that you're one of those guys who has a respect for what it is that he wants, and many of the Giants players have told us since he was named GM that he got their attention right away. I mean, he has a mission statement on how he wants this team to win and win now, and not every player in Carolina felt that way. We've all heard about some of the grumblings of some other players, but what is it that you think about Gettleman makes him a guy to look up to? What makes a player want to be part of his organization?
You know, I mean, it's the little things. I remember first coming from Denver, and I remember Coach McGahey, the special teams coordinator.
Who's back here now? And, yeah.
Him and Gettleman coming, you know, just talking to me. Just, you know, see him in the lunchroom, have a casual conversation. Hey, what are you doing? How's life? You know, and just being personable. You know, there were other organizations I was at that, you know, the head coach or whoever just would walk by you and act like you weren't there. And so just being personable, and, you know, like I said, just, you know, honesty for me. I mean, I always, you know, whatever questions I had, his office was always open. You know, so I would ask him questions, and, you know, he'd be honest with me. And, you know, in Carolina, when I wasn't playing, you know, we sat down and had a conversation about that. And, like I said, you can't do nothing but respect a man. And I appreciate the opportunities that, you know, I had earned and what was given to me. And, like I said, he's just a likable guy. Like I said, you talk to him, and, you know, I've never been around him when he's not upbeat. And so, like I said, he's always smiling around, talking to everybody, and, you know, he's making that personal connection.
What would be your best advice to Odell Beckham, who has been known as a rather flamboyant character? You know, he certainly is colorful, Dominic. I don't think anybody would disagree with that. And now, you know, Dave Gettleman comes in, and he wants to run a very tight ship. At least that's the impression that we get. What would be your right advice to Odell in terms of when you sit down with Dave Gettleman, what is that conversation going to be like?
Man, I think they're going to laugh and joke around because they both want the same thing. They're both passionate about football, and they're passionate about winning. And so the thing is, be yourself. And the thing is that I'm sure that Mr. Gettleman, I'm sure he's going to have some advice for the young man to, you know, to further his career, to continue to be successful, you know, on and off the field. Because, you know, we've had some characters with the Giants ourselves, you know, as you can remember. So, Mr. Gettleman, he handled that in a great way. And that's another thing, too, is that when he was in Carolina, you know, and people had these things to say about Steve Smith. I mean, Steve Smith was one of the best teammates I ever had. And I think he had to change a little bit when Gettleman came in, but at the same time, it was for the better. So they're going to sit down, joke and laugh, and like I said, and get a game plan together and see how they're going to be successful this year, because they both want the same thing. Another Super Bowl ring for Mr. Gettleman and the first one for Odell.
Indeed. You brought up an interesting point, Dominic, when you were talking about your interaction with Gettleman, how he'd come into the cafeteria. It seems as if, the way you described him, he'd have a presence amongst the players. And I think perhaps from the fans' perspective, you always look at the head coach as the face of the franchise and the guy that probably is most likely to interact with the players. How important is it, though, for the GM to be seen by the players and to maintain that relationship even while you're in the midst of a season? And how much does Gettleman provide that presence?
You know, I think it's really important because, you know, when it comes to contract negotiation or anything like that, you know, it's not the first time that you're having interaction with the GM. You know, is it? From what I've heard with teams is that your interaction with the GM is usually when you're being fired or you're being hired, and anything in between, you know, doesn't work. So, but it's good to have that relationship to know, hey, you know, this isn't the first time I'm talking to him. You know, we have talked, you know, throughout the week, throughout the season. And so at the end, when the negotiation process happens, at the end of the day, it's business. But at the same time, you built that personal relationship that, you know, you may take a little less money, or, you may get a little more money, or, you know, do whatever you have to do business-wise. But like I said, you had that personal relationship that you kind of made that foundation can stand on.
Dominic, we heard you mention before coaching at high school, so give us a capsule. What exactly are you up to? I know you had the fishing boat going. I didn't know you were coaching any school players, though.
Yeah. So I'm in Pensacola, Florida, and the fishing boat is going to slow down this summer for me because I'm going to be a full-time coach. And
nice.
I coached at Pensacola High School this past year, and now I'm the offensive coordinator at Pensacola Lighthouse Christian Academy. I'm looking forward to it, and reaching out to past friends and coaches and stuff and getting this playbook together. And, you know, we're ready for spring football coming up, so, you know, I'm excited.
Yeah, but you know what that means, Dominic? It means now that you're going to be calling plays, you're going to get second-guessed. Are you ready for that?
Yeah, man. You know, and that's all right, because I was joking with Coach Gilbride with our 10-year anniversary of our Super Bowl team, and I said, I'm going to feel the pressure that you've been feeling on a lot lower level, but I said, I already can hear, you know, the fans in the background. So.
Just remember, look at the gray hairs it gave him.
No, yes. I'm going to do this just for men if that happens.
Well, Dominic, before we let you go, I've got to bring this up because Paul hasn't let me not hear the rest of this. 2011, week two, Giants get you in the end zone. He's on the radio call. I just wanted to ask you how honorable it is for you to know that your touchdown has been documented with the voice of Paul Dottino forever.
I said, hey, me and my son, I show him that clip and stuff, and he just his eyes just light up when he hears his voice. So I'd say that'll be archived forever. My kids will see that. So
that is so cool.
Absolutely.
But let's not forget, if he doesn't make that play, the call doesn't exist.
Well, that's true.
So thank you, Dominic.
You did the heavy lifting, Dominic. Yes.
He sure did.
We need to make sure of that. Dominic Hixon, former Giants wide receiver and special teamer, helped the team win two Super Bowls. Also has a connection to Dave Gettleman and Mike Shula going back to Carolina in 2013. Dominic, really appreciate the time and the insight, and all the best with your coaching career.
Thank you, Dominic. Be well.
Okay, appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
You got it.